Find us on Facebook and Twitter and email the show all on the new website, drakeinthemorning.com. Drake, Danny, Wes, and Sid. Mornings on 98.1 The Max.
Sunday, Beale Street Music Fest. She's good. Courtney Barnett. I think that her inspirations may be people like Patti Smith. She's a poet, and she's pissed. And hey, who ain't?
But she's not pissed on every song.
No, every song is different. That's the beauty of the whole deal.
Exactly. It's
some are really melodic and nice, and on this one, she's pissed. So she's after the Indigo Girls, and they're really pissed. Great lineup announced earlier this morning. It's on the MemphisMay.org site. It'll be on the Max site, I'm sure. And our Facebook page or whatever it is that you choose to look at. Neil Young, that's pretty strong in itself. Weezer, Train, Gin Blossoms, that's on Friday. The Struts, who are a hot new band that I've played here a couple of times. Day two is Meghan Trainor, all about that bass and whatnot. Modest Mouse, Bare Naked Ladies, Yo Gotti, Violent Femmes, Cypress Hill, Johnny Lang, Lucinda Williams. She's pissed, and she's old and pissed. Los Lobos, Better Than Ezra, and it goes on and on and on. And on Sunday, Beck and Paul Simon on the same day. That's really great.
We've gotten a few emails about people excited about it. Elizabeth says, no one can make me smile and sing like Paul Simon. My first album ever was Bridge Over Troubled Water that I received as a birthday
God, you're
present
old.
When I was six.
That's great.
I might just have to go brave the mud and go to my Memphis in May Music Fest this year.
I remember being little enough or old enough now that my dad brought home a copy of the album Bookends. I'll never forget that. Great, great record. That was a long time ago.
And Amy says, I think I scared the guy next to me at the red light when I screamed upon hearing that Bastille is going to be at Memphis in May Music Fest. Looks like I'll
so
be
what's
going
their deal?
For the first time in 7 years. They're a minor key sort of alternative rock band that plays songs with interesting twist of lyrics that I've just that I like. Okay. But I'm weird and bizarre, so
well, that's okay.
It may not be for you. I don't know.
Right. I'm going to find out here in a minute.
Bad Blood was their probably their biggest hit.
Okay. Well, is there any cussing or anything ugly in it?
Probably. I don't remember.
Cool.
No, I don't think
then I'll play it for sure. The other stories that I have, just two of these are about the Girl Scouts. Here's today's Girl Scout segment.
Sponsored okay. by
brought
cookies.
Brought to you by, yeah. After, you know, it is everyone's right to believe as you do, as you choose to do. Your spiritual world is your business. If you're Baptist, Christian, if you're Catholic, if you're Jewish, if you're a Buddhist, go for it. That is your right. But when you start banging on people and trying to denigrate and beat people down because they don't believe like you, you've crossed the line. That ain't the point. And this bishop in St. Louis who made the comments last Thursday, complaining about Girl Scouts, expressing concerns, they have in quotes here, about the group's position on social issues like abortion, gay rights, and feminism. These are little girls. That's the first thing that strikes you. But he's attacking their leaders as well, of which there are 800,000, we learned, that are trying to help these young ladies grow up to have some knowledge and some education and some class and to learn how to, you know, build a fire and stuff. And to sell cookies, which
they live in a tree.
Yeah. They all live in trees and sell cookies like the little elves from Keebler. So he's especially critical of blah, blah, blah. And I hope that somebody has told him to go somewhere and be quiet. The Archdiocese is advising priests to reassess their Girl Scout troop relationships based upon their what they perceive to be bad values, questionable values. I think to most people this seems silly, and this guy is going to be, I mean, this is the kind of guy that Pope Francis would slap the pee out of.
But it goes one step further. Further down,
yes,
there's
it
a
does.
Spokesman here yes. that says that if a Girl Scout troop is not achieving mission effectiveness in advancing Catholic faith, according to the pastor of the church that is sponsoring them, he can oust them.
Yeah, they deny that their practices defy any church teachings. This whole thing is absurd, and it seems like it just takes one person to, you know, pee in the punch bowl and make it tough on everybody else. So they have responded respectfully and kindly, and they signed it, shut the F up, love the Girl Scouts. But it is just ridiculous, and this will go away, I'm sure. But who does he think he is to cram his thoughts down everybody else's?
And I'm confused of why he thinks it has Catholic values, just Catholic values.
Exactly.
Right.
Why do you think not everybody is Catholic, sir? Your priestess. I mean, why do you think that we have to all adhere to what Catholic beliefs are? We don't.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And
why.
I don't know why you think that you have to talk about them in a bad way because they're not living up to what you think they should.
They're not trying to be a member of your church.
Right.
They're in the Girl Scouts.
No one's running for the priesthood. They're eight.
Plus, they're girls at the Catholic Church.
Yes,
we can't do anything there.
So I mean, it's a lovely faith, and each to his own, and you can have your own belief system, and that is wonderful. But you don't need to tell the entire world how to live and think. The Girl Scouts, the little devilish biatches in Portland, Oregon, have a bright future, it says. They've devised a way to drive up cookie sales. They have a stand outside the Foster Buds Marijuana Dispensary. The sign on their table read, "Satisfy your munchies."
That's smart.
Well, but here they are, though. They're doing the devil's work because they're condoning marijuana. So,
but it's legal marijuana.
That's yep. Right.
And we had a story last year about this time that the number one Girl Scout who sold the most cookies in the nation did that. She set up outside some pot shop in Denver somewhere.
One of the Girl Scouts' aunts said the Girl Scouts don't really condone this, but it's not against the rules. One Girl Scout said, quote, "It seems like people are happy we're here."
Well, they're happy. Well,
good observation.
Because they're high as balls and they want some cookies. So,
they're happy the cookies are there.
Yeah, exactly. So what's that? Lighten up. Just lighten the heck up. And this one here I thought was hysterical. Just to show you, you know, but the 70s was called the Me Generation, which is compared to this day and time.
No.
It's such a joke. Millennials, says the survey, are too lazy to eat cereal. This is the headline, and the subhead is bowls don't clean themselves. It seems that this age group are waging a new generational war, and the enemy is Cap'n Crunch, and cereals like it. Story from the Washington Post reports that the sale of cereals in the U.S. is down nearly 30% over the past 15 years. Now, we keep cereal at home, but it's Cheerios, or it's that fiber stuff that's not full of sugar and it's full of fiber stuff. And we don't on occasion we'll flip out and buy something that is bad. I had kind of an attack over the weekend, and I just lost it and went to Walgreens and bought two boxes of White Castles, two bags of gummy bears, and a box of Red Hots, and two bags of Skittles.
I tell you what, it was very hard to walk by the cereal aisle and not just grab a box of Apple Jacks.
Oh, there are so many things. I would kill for a box of Cocoa Krispies and some milk.
Oh, mine's Lucky Charms. I ain't going to eat it. Mine's Lucky Charms, and there's no more marshmallows in it.
Well, then what's the point?
Exactly.
Really? But
well, someone ate them all.
The leprechaun.
That's right.
Part of the growing preference for things like smoothies and protein bars are why people have stopped eating all this sugary nonsense. 4 of 10 millennials in a new survey said, this is the honest to gosh truth, eating cereal was, quote, inconvenient because they had to clean up after they ate it.
Now,
you spoiled little bastards.
I do think it's inconvenient, but not because you have to clean up, because you have to sit down and eat it. You can't eat it on the run.
Yep. Yep.
So I eat it at night if I do eat it.
I ate some last night after I ate my, you know, real food.
Uh-huh.
But I ate it standing up watching TV.
Right.
Like there I always go. Eat.
That's so funny yeah. how people do that.
Yeah. So they just don't want to fool with having to wash the bowl is the point.
I was dubious about this, and I started backtracking the story sources to where I could. The final one I've gotten doesn't have any more information. It just says it is a survey that this company took last year by Mintel. I don't know who they are, but how many millennials did they ask? And what is what I don't know? What is their
These stories are from the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Right, which I'm looking at the Times.
Lends them some kind of credibility. It says here that while the American work ethic may be doomed, cereal companies are predicting brighter days ahead. Because they want to cash in on the eccentric ways that this age group eats cereal. They have to embrace that people love the flavor and texture of cereal and the vintage nature. But it's not about breakfast, says a pastry chef who turns the cereal milk into ice cream. A bar in New York is selling a cocktail that will cost you $16 infused with fruity pebbles.
No.
It's disgusting. A place in California, a chef puts bacon-infused soy milk and fried egg on top of corn pops. Nice. Yuck. So they're doing things trying to attract people. They're putting quinoa, which is that grain, into a special K, and marketing their stuff as a portable snack to the younger generation.
That's what they have to do. But there's nothing better than sitting there.
But there was a time, though, when it was really cool. I recall this as a kid, that all I wanted was that 8-pack of those little boxes of different kinds.
Oh, I hated those.
Oh, yeah.
I love those because you could, like, put them in your pocket and go.
Yes.
And, we took them out of town.
Chew the milk.
Just eat those.
Yeah.
And they still have those. I like those.
They're really good for you, too. No sugar at all. No.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that there was always, like, half of the brands were ones I didn't like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just give me one big box of the thing I want.
Yeah, I don't know, but but that's not good for General Mills and those cereal people.
I had a beer this weekend. You know, I drink that Angry Orchard beer, and they have.
Is it strong or is it?
Maybe.
Is it
I
one
don't,
of those craft beer kind of tasting things?
It's very cider-ish. I mean, it's apple.
Yeah.
And it's only because I had to quit drinking wine so I could get up and do the show.
Right.
And they have different flavors, and so they're different colored bottles. So the pink bottle came home the other day, and I tried that. It tasted like cereal. I couldn't figure it out for about 3 sips. I go, this tastes like cereal. And the rest of that beer did not get drunk, and the other 5 are still sitting in there because I don't want to drink cereal. I want to eat my cereal and drink my beer.
It was sweet?
Yes. And I'm sure people would say the same thing about my cider. I don't want to drink apples. I want to drink beer, and I understand that. But cereal-infused drinks don't sound delicious.
No, I don't. I'm just a real purist. I mean, I can't. I drank that ultra light, funky girl beer, and because it's just not that strong, and there's just not much to it. If I drank one of those craft beers,
oh yeah,
I'd be speaking in tongues.
It only takes two for those.
I mean, it's just too much. Now, used to, you know, 12 Budweisers, was breakfast, but not anymore. Buster's Liquors has all kind of craft beers, and they have them in their little growler station. There's no growling involved, but you can sample them, and they'll put them in this thing that they call a growler, and you can take it home and eat it with your cereal or however you choose to. They have a great wine selection as well, and they have 18 people on their staff who are experts in the wine business, and one of them can help you find what you desire. And there's an entire area for vodkas and gins and bourbons and scotches and all these things. It's all organized beautifully. 400 kinds of beer on the back wall in the cooler. Everything by Yeti, an area of high-end elite deli foods, meats and cheeses and all kind of things like that. A great store, newly redone. It is a top-notch place to shop for anything in the spirit world. 16,000 square feet. It's over at Poplar and Highland, where it always has been. BustersLiquors.com. We thank them for being on this program and hope they'll hang out with us for years to come.
And I finally Googled growler. I've only been wondering for years.
I had no idea.
Why it was called a growler.
Why?
Very easy. A growler is a glass, ceramic, or stainless steel jug used to transport draft beer in the United States. So
that wasn't hard.
No, it wasn't.
I've never asked anybody and never known. And now I know. But I have no idea what you just said because I wasn't paying attention. Shea Flynn is in the green room having a martini, and he will join us in just a moment. Here is this band that's on the Beale Street Music Fest that Wesley has given his approval seal to. They are called Bastille. Into the break. Sure that Shea Flynn heard the show yesterday. He's a diehard fan and enjoys the podcasting on the Mac site and on our site, wherever it may be. But you are no longer the only regular guest on this program with your own theme song. I hope you weren't hurt by that.
Sleazy Veezy?
Yep. I had to do it. I mean, he's
so sleazy.
I mean, he works for your friend, the mayor. You know, Jim, what's his name?
Well, he's not my only sleazy friend, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, from Lambeau at the top all the way down to that, you got really some issues. But
I choose poorly when it comes to friends and associates.
Well, there's a lot of that, the habits all the time. Look at this room. so anyway, Shea Flynn is here. Shea is a longtime politician, observer. In this town, he's now part of the vice chairman's president circle of the Chamber of Commerce, and he's promoting the city and working on optimistic, hopeful ideas and concepts as each day goes by. And did you watch any of the events of last evening before we get into the city?
The last evening.
There was a town hall meeting that was done very well. Each candidate, Bernie and Hillary, had their own hour by themselves and questions from the audience. It was civilized and not the usual ingrates yelling and stuff.
No, that would have been interesting, and I'll go back and
watch it
on YouTube. But
she's extremely polished, and he's extremely passionate about what he's selling. I'm not sure who's buying.
Well, apparently people are out there buying, and mostly millennials.
I know, and then we had the caucuses in Nevada, which by all accounts this morning were a cluster.
Shocking if true.
Double voting chaos was the word used. And the surprising thing to many of us was to watch the people who were there volunteering at the tables are wearing Trump T-shirts. That seems to be one of the no-nos.
That would be a no-no if it was administered by an election commission, but caucuses are different than primaries, and
rather unseemly.
They're administered by the party. The party has its own rules. Know if that's against the rules. You would think it would.
One of these stories mentions that it's not cool to do that, but they didn't care in Nevada, and why should they? Because they're in Nevada.
Republicans haven't cared about being cool for a long time.
So. For the past 6 months, you have stuck to your guns.
Still sticking there, doubling down in the face of all this overwhelming support.
You think that after Tuesday that Mr. Trump will not be the obvious nominee in the GOP?
I do not think he will be the nominee in the GOP. Right now, he is the obvious nominee. Yes, no, I do not think so.
Do you think that the convention is where this is going to all go insane? Because this came up with Kyle the other day about how this convention, there could be a, I mean, some kind of an out, some kind of uproar, some kind of revolution to get him out, or is this whole thing already pre-planned?
No, I don't think it's pre-planned yet. If so, it's a really, really good plan.
It's well done.
You can't see it.
It's scripted beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're at some point they're going to remember, hey, you know what? We're really good at tearing apart candidates. They don't have to be Clinton's, and they're going to go after him with all their might.
I keep waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But it hasn't happened.
They seem a little scared of him, a little bit afraid.
And this morning, for the first time, I see that his wife is on NBC's Today Show.
She's pretty.
But he's trotting her out now for the first time. So, but can she speak the language and stuff? I mean, is she an educated? I mean, I'm not making. I don't know. Her looks shouldn't matter, but they do. And so now they're going to put her on the TV and let her talk and stuff, which may be bad.
You know, I don't think a lot of people, whether it's Ms. Clinton in '92 or Laura, I don't think a lot of people vote for the first lady.
Yeah.
So,
well, Jackie O, she didn't hurt JFK.
No, but I mean, that was Teamsters in Illinois.
Yeah, that was Sam Giancana that got him that whole race. Everybody knows that. But, well, it is interesting times, but you will still maintain, who do you think, if not Trump, then who? On the day of the
Rubio. I think I'll go back to the Rubio Kasich ticket for the Republican Party.
Okay. I'm surprised that you're still, but I trust your judgment. So we'll see.
It's getting weird. I'll be the first one to admit that it's getting weird. I would have thought that it's just, I base this on the belief that if the Republicans wanted to stop, you see all this, oh, they're scared. They got to stop Trump. They're starting to hit the panic. Well, they can do it. I mean, there's ways to do it.
Having him killed is one option, I guess.
Well, no, I mean politically, without extra legal ways. I mean, but they can stop this candidacy. They're just not going to, because really, I mean, if you come at it from a Democratic or socially more liberal perspective, Trump is the most liberal candidate in the GOP right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Kasich seems the most moderate because he's talking, but if you look policy,
moderate means sensible in this case.
Yeah, Trump has really, gone hard on immigration, but other than that, I mean, he's, as recently as, 9 years ago, whatever, he was pro-choice, and I mean, he's fairly moderate just because he doesn't have anything in the way of true policy positions.
He doesn't seem to have any. He says, go to my website, they're all on that. So I don't know. There's nothing really ever discussed, except there's lots of hand waving and histrionics and hollering and going to punch somebody in the face and that kind of deal.
Yeah. Full disclosure. I'll never vote for Trump because, he burned me on that cologne back in the day. And, I'm not forgetting.
Well, that is a big weight to carry. Did he really have a cologne?
Yes.
What did it smell like? Him?
Trump.
Money.
I saw the first... It smelled like cash. I saw the first billboard on 240. It's a big lighted up thing that says, Trump, make America great again. So he's spending money around up in here.
He's the only person that his organization in Memphis, at least, is him and Ed Stanton are the only people I've seen with signs at early voting.
Rubio has a TV ad on. I've seen that locally.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Not particularly. It looks like a TV ad for a politician.
And I'm not crazy about Trump's yard signs either.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah.
What do they say?
And Kyle Vesey and I have an ongoing, we really go in depth and deconstruct a political yard sign and have.
Well, they aren't that complicated.
They are. There is an art to this. There is an art.
Color schemes, fonts.
It's mostly fonts and verbiage. That's my position. I think that's what makes a good yard sign. Kyle has a little bit, I mean, he wants a little more creative aesthetic thrown at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Trump ones, I don't think the Trump letters are big enough. Mm. I think he could,
I haven't
I think
seen
he
one.
Could have changed the font.
Does it say make America great again? Is that
just, it's possible. It's real small.
It's just little.
Yeah. Mm. There's some more things, but it's got a red border, blue, white Trump.
Mm.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue. That's a pretty good.
Yeah, but it's tricolor. That
Yeah, sometimes that gets too busy. Yeah,
you just need to.
Well, we'll see.
We've got a lot of good concerts coming up, including Music Fest. And if there's any two people I think that need to get out and go to some, it'd be Shay and Kyle, if this is what they sit around and talk about.
As in get a life?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't.
Just because their life isn't like yours, Danny, doesn't mean they
don't.
Oh, because
I go out every night.
look, yeah. if you can't find the art and just driving around when you see your friends and neighbors, you know, expressing their view, you want them to do it with an effective and, you know, beautiful political yard sign.
We need to have a long talk.
Later on, Kyle and I are going to open a museum to political yard signs.
I'm going
to
take you in.
We're literally going to have dozens of you'd be really ashamed at the length of the text chains between us on this.
If I decide to have a yard sale, I'm calling you to tell me what my sign should say so people will drive down my street.
You keep that glitter off of it. All right? Just no.
Yeah, and don't do it on poster board and do it like it just doesn't work out. Shay Flynn is our guest. We're heavily in conversation about nothing, which is about the norm. So you and some of your colleagues that are in powerful spots in the city went to Nashville last week on a mission. What was that mission? I've heard about some of the guys that went, and they are all influential folk in this town. What was the point?
Well, there are actually multiple missions.
Moon missions?
That we discussed some moon missions up there, but there were multiple missions. We saw President Rudd of the University of Memphis. He was up there to testify. The Shelby County Commission was up there to meet with the Shelby delegation. The Chamber, of course, was up, and I got to give a shout-out to our communications team, Amy and Christina. They did a great job. We draped outside of Lieutenant Governor Ramsey's office in blue and had, you know, signs and everything. It looked like it, you know.
What did the signs say?
Memphis and, you know, advertising, you know, the great companies and things going on in our city.
But are you seeking support from the state for anything in particular?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have a lot of good stuff on our Christmas list, I guess, from the state, you know, where things that can help move Memphis forward. And we had a great meeting with the Shelby County delegation. That's the Democrats and Republicans that make up the delegation, and it was just a real good time.
So why are you lobbying Ron Ramsey and not Bill Haslam?
Well,
because Ron's the real governor
for the legislature. Oh. No. And we met with the, you know, members of the administration, the treasurer, the secretary, the comptroller, different groups, and we had some member companies. We had a young company out of Memphis that came out of the epicenter, Sweet Bio. It's you know, some millennials that have started this company that have raised a lot of capital, and they got to see it. And the mayor was up there for a meeting of the four big mayors, and they were meeting with people. So there's just this confluence of people, the Chamber Communications team and the Convention and Visitors Bureau did a fantastic job of really making an impression, because I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but generally speaking, the Tennessee legislature hasn't been real cool towards Memphis.
Really?
They didn't think we were awesome.
Huh.
And we were trying to change their opinion. And I think we were successful.
So did the sign say Memphis is awesome in two-color presentation, font?
No, that was the elevator pitch. There's pictures around the internet. It really was cool what they did.
They don't think we're awesome. That's really too bad. So did you have any effect on these people? And so it was you and Kevin and...
Oh, there was...
All the hot shots in town were there?
There were a lot of people up there. I don't know. All the hot shots weren't there. You weren't there.
Well, there's that.
Kyle Vesey wasn't there.
Right.
So, I mean, we were down a few hot shots.
But you had enough, I think, to make. So did you make your point and get any results yet?
Yeah, we'll find out. But I think it really did put a fresh foot forward for Memphis in the legislature. And
good.
That's a good thing. And, you know, I think it was a very positive experience. You know, when I was up there as the interim senator, I saw a lot of those day on the hills, and I can safely say that none of them were as impressive as what Memphis did. It was so impressive that a Nashville journalist actually, you know, was tweeting out some hate on it.
Hmm. So
you got to like.
Well, it's really hard to embrace the governing body in Nashville based upon how they do their business. But at least they were polite to you guys, and maybe you get some money out of it because you were nice and had good signs. So let's hope that that is the fact. And day before last, did you catch the part where there was almost a fist fight in the freaking
yes, hall? Yeah, between Representative Todd and Hardaway?
Yes. What were they? And Mr. Todd should get out of the tanning bed. Just for, he's orange. What were they bickering about?
That was one of those historical markers. Oh,
that's
AKA
right. That's
Confederate
right. That's
memorials,
right. Yes,
and,
yes, yes.
But they were both at the lunch, and they
white
were
guy, black
along.
Guy, and they were arguing over the history and the heritage and all that stuff. And then they had the comment from some fellow around here, I think, who said it in a very simple way, but it kind of it seemed to make sense that you can take down all the statues you want, but you won't change the history. That's an interesting point. I'm not sure that it's relevant in 2016, but then again, I don't know what is anymore to anybody, so it's hard to tell from day to day.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's trying to change the history, but I mean, I think we can expand on it. And again, the statues and parks, that's not where you learn history. You learn history in school and hopefully.
Maybe.
And the history books, and Google has a lot of it there, I'm told.
Well, I think that we do need more open, I mean, just fist fights in the assembly, and just
it's old school.
Just to make some points. I don't know why we can't encourage that further. Shea Flynn is our guest. Are you surprised to see Mark Luttrell make his intentions or his possible intentions to run for the seat held down by Mr. Fincher? Is Mark bored being the county mayor, or what do you think about that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, the county mayor,
as you pointed out before, it's not a real busy gig.
No, and a lot of people, it's a place where politicians can get very, very popular, and it's often been used as a launching pad. I'm a little bit surprised at the way he's going about it.
Why?
Because the number of candidates that have already declared and are already in there and have been for the past 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, out there getting support, getting endorsements, raising money, and then to have someone come in kind of behind that is, and to do it in such a soft way of I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't know how.
What does he have to gain?
A congressional seat, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And more headaches than he has here now, because he really has none here, so he needs something else to do, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Internally, what is motivation politically? I think, you know, he right now he's in that little bit pregnant phase, and I don't think that's a good place to be.
Yeah, you either is or you ain't.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will see. So, how are things downtown? Our new mayor has been there for 55 days, and Jim Strickland is making his mark and doing things daily to get the attention of people. And he's, you know, rolling out ideas, and his newsletter every Friday seems to be smart.
That's a good newsletter.
It is, and it's going out to 10,000 people, and anybody can get it. And if that isn't the height of transparency, I don't know what is. It's just really smart, I think.
I mean, he could hand deliver it to every Memphian, but he's just lazy. Let's be honest. He's not trying hard enough.
We're going to wait and do the, you know, magical 100 days, which we have learned was what, April 9th or 8th? And we're going to drag him up here kicking and screaming and see what he has accomplished. I presume that the police search continues. And he was even, you know, his one that came out Friday ran down some more salaries from bigger cities with comparable crime issues and stuff. So this is all being laid out there.
No, the salary issue is, you know, that goes back to Director Godwin, who would talk about, you know, he'd be like, yeah, look, if I'm being offered this job and here and I'd be making this much more. And at the time, all the directors made the same, and they were all kind of keyed into each other, and that probably wasn't the most rational way to do it. So, you have to look at pay scale. I mean, but they're not just looking at it for the director. They're looking at it for the rank-and-file police officers as well.
Right.
They're looking at, you know, fire department, all across that. And that's something that's probably been necessary to do throughout the past couple of years.
Yeah, well, we discussed with Kyle about the fact that April is approaching rapidly, and here we go into the hellish world that you lived in for years. budget season.
We all live in it. I just saw it up close and personal.
Terrible. It just makes me anxious to think back as to how annoyed you were by it. And now he has to go into it full bore with this city council, some which are still, you know, babies and some are angry old people.
Yeah, the city council is, it's going to be a trial by fire for them. I mean, right now, they're not ready. I'll go ahead and say that. They're not ready. They need to
own up on what?
They need to get more battle tested. Right now, they've been sort of having a continuous string of kumbaya moments, and then just occasionally over little things, you'll see a complete breakdown of the system. And that's part of the learning curve. It's not a criticism of them. It's just more
How do you toss them in the fire if there is no fire to be tossed into? I mean, that's the fire coming up.
Yeah.
But until then, what are you going to do? I mean, you really can't, you know, create havoc where there is none. But surely we can find some chaotic moment to turn into a fistfight.
Exactly. That's really, maybe it'll be with this discussion of taking away the citizenry's 2 minutes. That will educate them very quickly.
I think we're still in the honeymoon period for the mayor and the city council, but that's not going to last forever. All right, sir. Well, thank you. What is your prediction for Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday, I think that Senator Rubio will dramatically close the delegate gap with Trump, and that's when the real momentum will start. I also think that all these super PACs will eventually get very active and very, very negative.
Are they sitting back waiting for some kind of turning point like Super Tuesday?
I think they've been waiting for the unity or the unified candidate between, you know, sort of the Rubio, Kasich, Bush, Christie, you know, crowd that has been sitting there, because Mr. Trump hasn't gotten a majority.
Mm-mm.
I mean, more Republicans have voted against him than have voted for him. And he is not many people's second choice. Mm. It's just the third of the electorate is all in on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the thin line they're walking is they're really, really scared of completely pushing those people away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the problem the Republican Party has, is they're going to push people away no matter what. They might have let this go on too long, which is very, very good news for Ms. Clinton, mm-hmm. or Secretary Clinton or Senator Sanders.
I thought that kind of crossed my mind last night. Is there any turning back, or is this already destined to go where it seems to be going, but you say nay. So we tried to explain yesterday the process of what happens on Tuesday. 10 states are involved in actual voting. 5 are involved in it's way too complicated. Why can't we just have one primary and move along? It's just a mess.
Because every state needs their say, and, you know, Iowa and New Hampshire are really, really, it's really important for them to be the bell of the ball. I think, you know, Tennessee needs to go ahead and say, January 2nd, we're having our primary, we're first.
Yep. Well.
And then other people will move up to
December 28th.
I guess nobody
could really argue with that, could they?
It's up to the state legislature, but that's not what I was asking them for.
Yeah, well, good. Has Jeb Bush called to ask for any money? Because he just pissed away $130 million on something.
If he does.
How do you do that?
He owes me 4 delegates.
Well,
come on.
I can't fathom how you can spend that much money and accomplish that little.
It was not spent correctly. We can ascertain
that's for darn sure. Shay Flynn, thank you, sir. We will visit with you next Wednesday, the day after Super Tuesday, and get your take on what happened or didn't happen. We'll be back in a moment.
We play great music, talk to interesting people, and give away free stuff. Radio Perfection. This is Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.